This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Happy wife, happy life, happy spouse, happy house. Today I'm here to discuss all things marriage with none other than the love doctor, Sheikh Bilal Danoon. How are you feeling, Sheikh?
Alhamdulillah, I'm a bit nervous. Yeah.
For those that don't know, Sheikh Bilal, he's a marriage celebrant. You can find him on Facebook, a marriage counselor. And to my knowledge, he's also, unfortunately, a divorce facilitator. Now, that's something we probably want to go there, but maybe not so soon.
Yeah, we can park it for now.
We can park it for now. Sheikh, happy Valentine's Day.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we're actually releasing this on Valentine's Day. I know it's a bit awkward, but it was just a coincidence. This wasn't meant to happen, but it just happened.
Are people still celebrating this? Like, what's going on?
I think
on?
It's a big thing in high schools, I guess. I think it's still happening. Everyone's trying to chase after their Valentine, trying to get that date, you know, sending them letters. I think, but it only happens in high schools. I don't think much.
Why can't they just go through the front door and just like, you know, tell their parents they want to get married and get engaged and then, you know.
That's hard work, Sheikh. You know, unfortunately, I guess we live in a time, Sheikh, and you know very well that we live in a time where it's much easier to do the haram than to do the halal. If you want to do the haram, what does it cost you? A $20 movie ticket? Done, dusted. Mm-hmm. You want to do the halal? It's a headache.
Whatever happened to no forever. Pain? No pain, no gain.
No pain, no gain. Ya Allah. Sheikh, I wanted to actually cross something with you, which I'm unfortunately seeing happening a lot, especially in our community. We're seeing a lot of people, I guess, and it's becoming more and more prevalent where you have people that are well into their 30s and they're still not married. And I guess it's somewhat of an epidemic where people are really struggling to find halal avenues to know one another, to get married. So, you know, where do we begin? Which way do we go? It's very difficult.
Well, I think this is where there's a number of avenues, be it word of mouth, be it, you know, the parents actually, you know, reaching out to relatives, to, you know, heads of organizations or centers or friends or, you know, word of mouth is one avenue. But look, people, you know, meet at uni, people meet at work, people meet, you know, at...
Just to stop you there, Sheikh.
Yeah.
Meet at uni.
Yes.
You know, this is like the biggest taboo, right? Like meeting a girl at uni, like this is, it's got like 100 red lights stuck on it right now.
Okay.
Like how can you speak to another girl at uni? Like how do you manage like not to fall in haram, but at the same time to keep it halal?
Why can't you just go up to her and say, hey, can I have your wali's phone number?
That's a bit awkward, don't you think? Is that really going to work?
You walk up to a girl, hey, can I have your wali's number? Well, you know, I mean, if they're happy to ask for their phone number, what's wrong with asking for the wali's phone number?
Yeah.
Well, look, of course, let's keep it real. Yeah. I mean, you can always go through the friend, you know, the friend of a friend and say, hey, you know, are you looking at getting married? There's somebody who's interested in meeting you and would like to maybe come and pay your family a visit. I mean, visiting a family, just visiting to get to know the girl isn't commitment. It's just a question.
So what are the boundaries when it comes to this? What exactly are the boundaries? Because you're going to want to have to have seen something before. So what are the boundaries when it comes to, I guess, not necessarily interacting with the girl, but knowing that she's the right girl from you. So like observing from, I'm not saying stalking or anything like that, but like you want to know if she's a good girl, right? So what are the boundaries when it comes to this?
Well, you've got to do your due diligence. You want to make sure that you're attracted to the person.
Yeah,
there's no point knocking on the door if there's no attraction.
Yeah. Or if you don't even know how she looks, right?
Yeah, yeah, you don't know how she looks like. Someone's got to point her out.
Because that might potentially actually... It can cause more damage.
Correct.
And yeah.
Yeah, it can damage her, and it may make it very disheartening for him.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Definitely, you know, attraction is very important. And when I say attraction, we're talking about, you know, Mr. or Mrs. Universe here. We're talking about, you know, there's got to be some, you know, chemistry there, because one thing, you can't manipulate chemistry. If you're not attracted, well, you know, there's no point moving forward.
But the problem is the brothers, they want, you know, I don't want to mention their names, but they want like an A-list Hollywood celebrity. They want, you know, they're shooting so high. I think just...
And that's on the deen, right? She's an A-list celebrity.
And she has the deen of Maryam alayhi salam. Like,
and, yeah. That's called Hur al-Ain, Habibi.
Yeah. It's not happening today, brother. Not happening today.
I think, asking... And once you've moved beyond the attraction, you know what, I'm attracted to this person. Then, getting to know that person through the front door, asking, all the questions. And I think if a person is looking for a Maryam, or for a, this example that you gave of a,
pious wali of Allah.
Then the person has to ask themselves, are they themselves the type of person that this pious, female is actually also looking for?
Yeah.
So it works both ways.
Yeah, he needs to look after himself and he also needs to look after his deen. Like, there's no point in, like, because you could potentially ruin her life. And we see this so often, Sheikh. Mm-hmm. You see, like, women of Allah, like, they're women of Allah. They're servants of Allah, probably reading Quran, memorize the Quran. Then she married to someone who's, like, misses a few prayers here and there. He damages her. Like, all right, mm-hmm. you got married, but then you damaged her. And there's that stigma, she's going to change him or he's going to change her. And I don't feel like that happens. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. And let's always go back to basic. Let's always go back to the time of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ spoke about what to look for when it comes to a suitor.
Yeah.
And that is, he said, إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ, that if the suitor comes to you, you're happy with their deen and their mannerisms, mm-hmm. their akhlaq, mm-hmm. then, give your daughter in marriage to this man. And if you don't do so, if we have this epidemic of not doing that, then there's going to be a fitna. There's going to be, a fitna on this earth. And then so deen is important. So we spoke about looks. The deen is important. And not only the deen, but the manners. There are brothers out there who have deen, but they're really hot-tempered,
Angry.
Angry. Their fuse blows real quickly, And then when it comes to the sisters, okay, let's see what the Prophet ﷺ said. In one hadith, he says, a woman is married for her beauty, for her lineage, for her wealth and for her deen. And he said, go for the one that has the deen and you will prosper. Does that mean they're the only four things that we look at? No, there are other things and there are other hadith that support looking at the woman and ensuring that you're attracted to her.
Mm.
So
what comes first?
I believe attraction comes first.
Attraction comes first. Why is that?
What's the point in talking about the deen if you're not attracted?
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Like, because if we put deen first, then we put attraction, and then it's like, all right, I've accepted her deen, and then the attraction comes in, you put across. It's like you've just knocked off.
You've undermined the deen a bit. Yeah.
Does that make sense? I guess what you're saying. It sounds as though what deen comes first, brother. But I think we need to look at it. Well, is there an attraction there?
Mm.
Okay, yeah, I'm attracted. All right, now let's get down to business. Mm-hmm. There's no need to get down to business if I'm not attracted in the first instance.
Mm.
Okay, and I'll be honest with you that there have been many brothers who've married for the sake of deen and not being attracted, and unfortunately, I've come across several cases where they've had to get a divorce, and even after children, because they realized they were just never attracted. They were just
That's very sad. That's very sad that you say that, Sheikh. And it actually comes back to the purpose of marriage. Alhamdulillah, in my brief studies, we went through the purposes of marriages. And one of the purposes of marriage is, whether we like to admit it or not, it's actually to protect the brother, or protect the sister. So if this woman, he finds that solace by living with her, he's going to be protected from his, falling into sin. He won't be easily manipulated, by an attractive member of the opposite gender or anything like that, because he has that solace in his heart, I'm all sweet, and she's protected and she's safeguarded that aspect of his deen from protecting him from falling into sin. So I guess it is very important, but at the same time, we never ever want to undermine the importance of deen.
Absolutely. And the way you've packaged it and the way you've just said it about protection, and you reminded me of a cover. Right? Yeah. And let's go back to the Quran.
Mm.
And we go back to the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Al-Baqarah, He says, "Hunna libasun lakum wa antum libasun lahun." The woman is like libas, a garment for you, the husband, and you, the husband, are like a garment for her. If you think about your garments for a moment, they're actually the closest thing to your body. The relationship between the husband and wife should always be intimate and close. If you think about your garments, they give you confidence, they give you warmth, they give you protection, right? And this is how the relationship should ongoingly be between a man and a woman. If you're not prepared to be a garment for him and he's not being not prepared to be a garment for you, then you need to reconsider.
SubhanAllah. I think another thing many people underestimate when they get married, it's understanding that a woman is not like a man. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says it in the Quran, he said, "Dhakru kal untha," you know, a man is not like a woman. And despite the, you know, the battling theories and debates we're seeing played out in today's discourse, our deen says, you know, a man is not the same as a woman. You know, we're different.
So what we have to understand here are roles and differences, okay? So let's talk about differences, okay? And the male is not like the female the Almighty has said, right? So what does that mean? It means we're different psychologically, biologically, neurologically, physiologically, our perception and how we perceive the world. So there are clear-cut differences. I'll give a very classical example, the Olympic Games.
Yeah.
Right. At the Olympic Games, males compete against males, females compete against females.
But this is a sexist, Sheikh.
No, no, but why are they doing
that? I'm joking
around. But why are they doing that?
Because physiologically, biologically speaking, physically, there's differences that we have to admit. We have to admit.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And so definitely in the same thing when it comes to relationships, we have to understand that we have these differences. So let's give a classical example when it comes to relationships. I'm going to test you out a little bit here, okay?
Sure. Not on camera, so, what is this?
So,
we didn't agree to this, guys. Yeah?
So let's say, for example...
I'm not, just to clarify, I'm not like a... like. Perfect husband, or just anyways.
We want you to get very close enough, inshallah ta'ala, because good marriages keep us happier and healthier, right?
That's actually true.
That we want to be happy in our marriages,
true.
Right? So, inshallah, if you're having a fallout with your spouse, right?
Yeah.
And what do you think the first thing that your wife wants to do is talk about the problem or walk away from the problem? What do you think she wants to do? Does she want to talk about it or does she want to walk away?
I don't think they would want to talk about the problem.
I don't think
they want to talk about the problem.
So there's an actual problem. You think they're just happy to go to sleep and they'll have a good night's sleep and then everything will be fine. They'll reboot in the morning.
I think they want the problem to be solved, but they don't really want to talk about it. I don't know. I could be wrong.
That's right. They do want the problem to be solved. And hence, they do want to deal with the problem, right? Men, on the other hand, they want to go into their...
Man cave,
their bubble, okay? And, you know, we're like real thinkers. Males are thinkers, right? We just want to think about the problem. Yeah. We want to give it a lot of thought. Hence, we have, you know, that statue, Rodin's Thinker. Have you seen that guy?
Yeah, he's just
guys, you know? So that's what we're like. And that's because males, they like to sort of dissect the problem. What do they say about a man's brain versus a female's brain?
I think we're going to have to cut this conversation here.
Well,
this
what's
is
going
very,
on?
I think we're borderline...
This is what the research is saying.
Good. Research, guys.
This is not
me. YouTube comments and people that are crazy on ready to. Anyways, continue.
Well, you know, they're saying that the brain of a man is wired in such a way that it's compartmentalized, where it's like in boxes and files. Everything's got a place.
Very intelligent.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, that might be a little bit. I think you might have to edit that part. So they say the woman's brain is like a ball of wires whereby everything is connected, right? That's just the way they're created. I mean, you know, and hence we have not only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, has said the male is not like the female, but then you have authors like Dr. John Gray, who says men are from Mars, women are from Venus, right? And then we have, like, for example, another book that's out there that talks about gender differences, and that is why men don't listen and women can't read maps.
Yeah.
Okay. What are they trying to say here? So we are different. Okay. And if we're going to compete against that, then we're going to find life is going to be a struggle. Okay. We all know that, you know, a woman, for example, the wife, her primary need is love, right? A man also needs love, but he enjoys that respect. He likes to feel that he's in control because he likes to give.
That's right. That's
right. Right. Yeah. And if he's giving, right, if he's actually giving and the woman and the woman and his wife, okay, is reciprocating with appreciation, he wants to give even more.
That's right.
Okay. Now, when you're not giving to the wife, she's not going to reciprocate, and then this is where the problem is going to also start.
100%.
So definitely males and females are different and we need to understand each other's differences and work with each other's differences and not downplay, undermine, water down these 100% differences.
Because even the way I see it, right, it's like the woman has qualities that the man might not necessarily have and the man might have qualities that the woman doesn't necessarily have. And this doesn't mean one's better than the other. That's just like childish behavior.
When that's we start competing like against
that.
Each other.
We don't speak like that, right? But when we look at the qualities that a woman has, the man loves that. He desires that. Like, for instance, and I'm generalizing, and I know I'm generalizing, and I don't want anyone to get triggered, but like a woman has that lutf, she has that gentleness, that sensitivity. And a man might have that strength. And as again, I'm generalizing, but I think it's fine. He has that physical strength. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had the strength of like 30, 40 men. You see, like, and one of the most amazing things that you see in the seerah is, you know, the Prophet ﷺ, he's so strong. He's physically strong, you know. But when Angel Jibril comes to him and shakes him for the first time, and this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a man of such immense strength, he's shaken up by that, you know. But despite his strength, despite his stature, the first person he comes back to is who?
Khadija
radiallahu anha. And he longs for that lutf, that solace, that gentleness that is only found in a woman. That is only found in a woman. You know, you could go to one of your mates, help me out, but you seek that warmth that is only found in a woman. So it's so beautiful, wallahi. It's so beautiful. It's such an amazing characteristic that a woman has. But it's like, look how we work off one another.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Look how we work off one another. And we're always there by our sides, compliment. You know, you said at the start, "Hunna libasun lakum antum libasun lahun." You know, you cover her, she covers you. But we're like complimenting one another.
Yeah, not competing.
And it's not competing. Like we see in today's discourse, the battle of the sexes.
Yeah.
Get out of here. This is not Islam. Like when it comes to Islam, we're speaking about, you know, how we, what does it say in the Quran, the verse where it says, "Ba'aduhum awliya'u ba'd." You know, the man and the believing man and the believing woman, they're looking after one another. Awliya ubaat, they're protecting one another. There's no battle of the sexes. We complement one another.
That's right. And I want to give another example of this. I mean, we hear the verse, "Ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa." You know, that men are the maintainers, the caregivers of women, right? And, you know, and then, you know, there in the verse there is, you know, that men have a level or a degree, you know, one degree over them, over the women. And then some people would get very like, you know, again, we have certain movements that may say, you know, what's going on here, okay? But we know in any business, in any corporation, there's got to be somebody who has the final say or somebody who has, and it's not a dictatorship. And I think I don't want to mistaken this leadership role to dictatorship. And I think we need the example I like to give is that of a pilot. So when it comes to flying a plane, we have the pilot and we have the co-pilot, okay? And that's how I think we need to look at it between the husband and the wife, that the husband is like that pilot who's navigating this vehicle, you know, this plane in this instance, okay, who's navigating the relationship, overseeing things, okay? And the co-pilot is there as well, you know, supporting, helping. But when the pilot is not feeling down, is feeling down or can't really be performing at their best, the co-pilot kicks in.
Yeah.
Okay. Or if we want to look at it like the head and the neck. So yes, the husband is the head and the wife is the neck, but the head only goes where the neck goes.
Yeah. It's even that, like, washawirhum fil amr, like have that shura, have that, you know, consult with one another before you make decisions. Like, it's not like a dictatorship and really whoever's made it out like that, completely misconstrued. Because even if you look at that very verse, the most amazing thing about that verse in particular, when it says "Ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa," at the very end of the verse, what does it say? "Inna Allaha kana 'aliyan kabira." You know, despite, all right, yes, you have this authority, But ultimately, who's the authority for? Inna Allah, you know? Mm. Allah, He is the Almighty. He is Absolutely. The grand. He is the great. Mm. So it's like, whoever wants to take it that way, you know, you've completely misconstrued it, because the man, yes, all right, he has this authority here, you know, this emirship whereby he's making a few decisions. But at the end of the day, you know, who's he responsible to?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And it's not like, I remember one sheikh, he was saying the other time, he's like, this should scare you, this verse. Mm. This shouldn't fill you up with pride. Look at me, macho man. Mm. Because this verse should scare you, because every responsibility is a mas'uliyah. It's you're going to be asked about it. You know, so why are you, you know, boasting about this and walking so proud and boastful upon this earth? No, just chill out. You know, you're going to be asked about it.
Absolutely.
So it is a task that we need to, I guess, understand and recalibrate within our minds. I also understand that you're very heavily involved in marriages themselves, right? We see you all the time on Facebook, you know, posting a photo here with the latest guy that got married. Every week, I think I see you on my newsfeed taking a photo with a new guy that got married. Now,
yeah, they think that I'm getting married to him in some countries because they say, "Where's the bride?" So I hope you're not one of those people who thought that.
No, of course not. Chef, come on. I've known you for But definitely, I feel like you're someone who's, I guess, heavily, you get invited to probably weddings every second week, right?
Alhamdulillah.
Or maybe every week if it's not at that. Now, when it comes to weddings, I guess a lot has been said about where weddings go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when extravagant, spending too much money, people are, you know, you're feeding people and they're only going home to backbite about how bad your wedding was and how tight her dress was and who this man was, and everyone was just not happy. And we feel like that's because there was a removal of barakah from the wedding. But I actually wanted to cross something by you, Sheikh, that when it comes to a wedding, you know, there's so much that has been said about weddings that lack barakah. But I personally believe a wedding, you know, when it's done right, it's not only halal and permissible, but to the contrary, it's mubarak. It's a place of barakah. It's a place where Allah's love descends, a place where perhaps even the angels are in attendance. And I feel like many of us have misunderstood the importance of this event.
Well said, yes. And like as you said, it is about barakah. It is about starting your relationship, commencing this relationship on a good footing, on good foundation. You don't want to be, I mean, this is the first chapter. We're talking about chapter one of your marital life, post, you know, engagement life. You're starting this chapter through a wedding, okay, or as we call it in Islam, a walima, which is a wedding feast. Okay, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did recommend a walima or a wedding feast to celebrate, to publicize. You know, none of this, you know, secret marriages. We publicize marriages.
No secret marriage. Yeah.
Okay, we publicize marriages, guys. Yeah. You know, we don't do things on the low. Okay, so and then you know when you're there. There is a sunnah. Like, for example, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach us to say to the newlyweds? And that's why you would invite righteous people as well to make dua for your marriage. Barakallahu lakuma wa baraka alaykuma wa jama'a baynakuma fi khayr.
There's actually a song about that.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Can I sing it now?
We should cut it. We should cut. Yeah, anyways.
So I think... you know, it's all about the barakah. You know, we want the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want His input. We want Him to really infuse our relationships with barakah. He's the turner of the hearts. He's the one that can turn the heart of your spouse towards you or against you or away from you. He's going to place barakah in your wealth, in the home that you're going to live in, you know, in your children. So definitely, let's really rethink that special day, the special, you know, occasion, the wedding ceremony, and let's ensure that we're doing things in a halal way.
To be honest with me, like my wedding day, I would have to say I felt like it was, I'm not trying to say I'm pious, right, but I could sense the barakah there. Like, and it was just like a beautiful, beautiful, yeah, the belief from no one has had anything, stay away.
Allahumma barik.
Allahumma barik. But like, you can feel there's barakah there. As long as you just do it halal, right? No mixing, no dancing with opposite gender. Just keep it halal. Keep it, you know, according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And wallahi, you'll see, like, it's a beautiful day.
Absolutely.
It's an absolute mubarak day, a beautiful day. And not to mention that this is a sunnah.
Yani, yes, yes.
We're so tired of hearing people say, you know, oh, haram weddings, haram weddings. What about halal weddings? When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, he says one of the rites, you know, whoever's invited to walima
should attend.
So, yani, like, this is like, if not an obligation, like many of the ulama actually say it is an obligation.
Correct.
To attend.
It's from the rights of a Muslim, yeah, upon a Muslim.
So let's like honor this day and really understand the blessing this day is, because wallahi, you know, I think there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, and correct me if I'm wrong, he says one of the best things you can be given in this dunya after iman is a righteous wife. Is that a hadith?
There is a hadith. خَيْرٌ نِسَاءِ مَنْ تَسُرُّكَ إِذَا أَبْصَرْتَ. That the best of women is the one who brings happiness to you when you look at her. And of course, you look at her righteousness, and you look at her upright character. الدُّنْيَا مَتَاعٌ وَخَيْرُ مَتَاعِ الدُّنْيَا الْمَرْأَةُ الصَّالِحَةُ.
Oh,
I think it's the hadith you're referring
to. Yeah.
So this world is a place of amusement, of joy. Mm. We can still enjoy and have entertainment in this worldly life. Okay. He said one of the greatest joys is to have a righteous wife.
SubhanAllah.
So every wife should really ensure that that she is that righteous, pious wife. That adds beauty to the marriage. That adds barakah to the marriage and solidifies and really crystallizes that relationship between the husband and the wife.
Well, and I feel like, you know, one of the most important things that when you do get married is just constantly strive to be a better person for your wife. Or for your wife to constantly strive to be a better wife, the husband to constantly strive to be a better husband. And, you know, it all comes back to what? Ihsan.
You know,
always just striving for excellence. You know, I went to one sheikh once, regrettedly, and I said to the sheikh, you know, like, I've already done like the rights, responsibilities, but I just wanted a bit of a clarification on one of the rights. He stops, he looks at me and he says, come sit down. He goes, why are you asking about this? I said, I just want to know like the detail about this certain right, this certain responsibility. No one get any ideas. That, you know, no one get any ideas. But he goes, all right. He goes, do you think that your marriage is going to be successful over implementing this right and her fulfilling this responsibility and this right? He goes, marriage isn't about rights and responsibilities. He says, if you want a successful relationship, there needs to be ihsan. There needs to be a point where you don't even ask what are your rights and responsibilities, because not only are they already fulfilled, but they're way back in the distance. You only ever talk about rights and responsibilities when it's long gone, when it's approaching divorce.
I like how you've used the word ihsan and you've mentioned, you know, perfection. And really, this is what a Muslim should always be striving to do, ihsan, perfection. And subhanallah, وَمَا جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. And the reward of ihsan is nothing but ihsan, of goodness. So subhanallah, when you do have a fallout with your spouse, it's very important that you apply ahsan, okay, ahsan towards the situation. And when we look at the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, idfa' billati hiya ahsan. That means repel. If something's coming your way, be it from your spouse, a friend, anybody that's coming your way, and it's negative, okay? And Allah says, repel it with ahsan, with better. So we have a duty as Muslims not to basically put out fires with fires, okay? But to put them out with, you know, that which is better. So he says, Allah says, idfa billati hiya ahsan, right? And then he says, fa idha alladhi baynaka wa baynahu adawa, you will find between you and whom there is some enmity and animosity, ka annahu waliyun hamim. You become as if you're close friends, you're close buddies again.
Wow.
You know what the scholars said? They said that if you don't find yourself becoming close to that person, that's your fault, because you didn't apply ahsan.
Wow.
You didn't apply ihsan.
SubhanAllah.
Okay. So because Allah is telling you, Allah is telling us that the outcome of ihsan is that you come together.
SubhanAllah.
And so really we need to be ensuring that we are applying ihsan, that which is best. And look, marriages are always a work in progress.
Yeah, a roller coaster.
It is a roller coaster. Yeah, yeah. It's a crazy eight. You're going to have like, you know, it's good over here. Then it gets a little bit. Look, relationships go through a cycle.
Mm.
They go through a period where there's sort of ease.
The honeymoon phase.
Okay. Well, no, just generally. Yeah. I'm talking beyond honeymoon. Okay. Beyond honeymoon, you know, really, it will take about, by the way, for those who are about to get married, or just gotten married, this is one for them. It takes about a year and a half to 2 years to really find your, you know, that sweet spot, or to really find your feet.
And then you get
in
kids.
Marriage.
And then you get kids. And then you're kids back come to in.
But as funny as that sounds, that can be quite challenging in and of itself, because they do say if you don't have a plan for when you have kids, if you're not good at managing, you know, we time and me time and or us time and, you know, that quality time together, and kids come into the equation, it really complicates things, right? So I think you know, it's really important to understand that relationships go through a cycle. So they go through where things are quite good, you know, and then they get a little bit unsettled, and then there's a repair period, and then they get settled, unsettled, repair. Wow. And that's an ongoing thing with relationships.
Can I just stop you there? I'm so sorry to stop you, but it's just that what you've just said is so true. And it's for almost every couple I come across. It's so true. You know, they fight, repair. And one of the most incredible things for me when it comes to marriages, and I'm generalizing again, I'm sure this is, you know, but majority of the time I feel like the ease at which problems get fixed in a marriage, I personally believe it's an ayah. You know what I mean? Ayah to hear. See how Allah says it's a miracle. I feel like it's a miracle, because had I had problems with anyone else, I'll be bitter for at least 2 years. You have a problem with anyone else, that fight will last forever. But with your wife, with your spouse, like you have a problem, a day, maybe not even a day, like 2 hours, and then you're best friends again.
Mm-hmm.
Like you go through that hardship. I'm so angry. But then like after a few minutes, half an hour, best of friends ever. And it doesn't happen with anyone else.
No other relationship that
perhaps
you find
your mother, perhaps your mother,
parents,
but no one else. And it's just like an ayah, a beautiful sign Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created within that relationship, that bond, subhanAllah. And now, Sheikh, we've all seen you as the marriage celebrant on Facebook and you know, the photos, and everyone knows you as the marriage celebrant. But what I know personally from you is that you actually, behind the scenes, are dealing with a lot of divorces. Now, how bad is this problem within our community, so to speak?
It is quite problematic. I want to say from the outset that when it comes to divorce, talaq, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated it, He legislated it as a solution to a problem. So I think one thing that we shouldn't misunderstand about divorce is that divorce in and of itself is a problem. Okay, of course it's a solution to a problem, and it's one of the very last options that we should go to. What disheartens me about many of the cases that come to me is not so much that that basically the couple really haven't probably thought about counseling. Okay, to try and save their marriage. Okay, so I think definitely, as always, as a first option, I do believe that couples who are doing it tough and they just can't seem to come to an agreement, then they really should consider counseling. Okay, through somebody who is quite experienced when it comes to relationships and offering strategies and options for the couple to really consider moving forward.
And not just go to anyone.
No, because, you know, the person really should be very well versed. I like to have an approach whereby I'm sort of thinking about, you know, the psychological and the spiritual aspects of relationships, not just the Islamic part of a relationship. So somebody who understands human behavior, who understands the difference between a male and a female, that understands the context, that understands the culture, that understands the deen. I think that's the sort of approach that I take to when couples come and see me.
How long have you been doing this for? Specifically, the marriage counseling and divorce facilitation.
Probably a good 15 years.
Allahu Akbar. That's a good long 15 years.
Okay.
And wow.
And yeah, so it is quite disheartening. I want to give you an example, right? So, look, you know, we cannot paint all divorce cases with the same brush. They can be quite unique. Subhanallah, only driving here today, I had a phone call literally probably 10 minutes before arriving here. And so we had a case whereby the couple came in for counseling, but the woman was, that's it, checked out, and she insisted that it's over. And I felt that it wasn't. I really felt that the husband is remorseful about certain things that he's done. There was hope. I really felt that, you know. And I really wanted this relationship, especially that there's a child involved, I really wanted them to give it a go. So anyway, cutting a long story short, we had a session, we had a second session, and by the end of the second session, I didn't have the outcome that I wanted, right? So she insisted on the divorce. Basically, we processed the divorce. Only a couple of weeks later, which is now today, okay, the brother's calling me up saying, hey, my wife has called me. She's really, really down. She's stressed out. She's regretful. And he's almost checked out because he said, look, if I sign that line, I'm not coming back. So when he's contacted me, I've said, alhamdulillah, let's make it work. Let's go with this. Now, you know, and the good news for them is their divorce is reversible. So there are divorces that are irreversible.
Yeah.
Well, they are, but they can be reversed, but with much complication, and some that can be reversed quite easily. Mm. We won't go into the fiqh of that.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to be able that I'm going to sit with this couple very, very soon and discuss strategy and options and moving forward, because now she's in a better headspace. Sometimes we're not in our right headspace. And you know what's unfortunate, Brother Kamal, is that we often make a permanent decision from a temporary situation, right? We don't want to make permanent decisions from, you know, a temporary situation when we're at the cycle of, you know, unsettlement, you know, when we're unsettled, where there's still hope for repair, okay? And we've exercised all avenues. And I think where a lot of couples are getting it wrong, and I see this a lot, I'll be honest with you, wallahi, Allah is my witness, okay? I see couples that come to me for divorce, and then I say to them, have you thought about this? Have you thought about this option? Do you want to try this out? You've tried it your way, and things are not working out. Do you mind trying it my way? I want to share something with you. They say, look, you know what? Do you have anything to lose? Well, not really, you know. And then, okay, try this out. And so I had a couple who did that once, and I remember they specifically came in for divorce, right? Or it was really ugly. And then I sent them off. And, you know, you can't keep track all the time mentally. So you get the booking and you remember there's that couple that's coming in. And I really thought they were coming in for divorce this time, right? And they came in and they sat down, and I get really nervous for these people, to be honest with you, you know, because there's children involved, and most of these cases are salvageable. We can save them, right? And so, subhanAllah, I said to them, so why are you here today, you know? And they go, I want to thank you. I said, Allahu Akbar, what are you thanking me for? Look, and alhamdulillah, our relationship is a lot better. We've applied some of those strategies and they're working, you know. We have a better understanding. There's more communication, okay? There's some compromise happening. There's more deen.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay.
That's a beautiful
So what we're saying here is that before we get to the D word, okay, before we get there, really, have you considered the C word, you know, the counseling? And I think this is where I would love to see a lot of couples really, you know, put up their hand and say, hey, we need help.
Be proactive.
Yeah. I mean, look, when it comes to physical ailments and disease and illness, right? We straight away think about going to the doctor, right? Why are we not thinking that way, you know, when it comes to our emotional, you know, emotional pain or, you know, our relationship pain, you know? So I think this is where we really need to create more awareness and inshallah in saving marriages, inshallah.
And just personally, me, Sheikh, I just want to say, like, you're doing a service, like, to the community. May Allah reward you, because, you know, healing marriages, healing relationships, it's stressful, I could imagine. It could be very stressful for you, but the reward in just mending those ties, you know, probably through the roof. So may Allah reward you for that. Sheikh, you've said that you've been doing this for 15 years. What are some of the most common reasons you see that, you know, unfortunately divorce unfolds? What are the primary suspects for this?
Okay, that's a very good question. A loaded question, but nevertheless, it's one that is asked a lot of the time, you know. So I guess it, what I've noticed is there isn't really one main reason, of course. People have several reasons. If I had to package the several reasons, be it, communication issues, be it disrespect, be it abuse, be it family interference, intimacy related, financial related, be it controlling behavior, and the list goes on, right? Be it no barakah in the relationship, because there's no prayer. And I'll be honest with you, the first question that I ask couples is, tell me about your relationship with Allah. Because you see, as the pious people of the past, they said, repair your relationship with the Creator and He will repair the relationship with the creation. So there is a very strong connection, or there is there's a correlation between our relationship with Allah and our relationship with each other, okay? And you will find, subhanAllah, that most of the time there's a lacking in the relationship with Allah. So one of my key advice to listeners, to viewers, is definitely begin with the foundation. Begin by repairing your relationship with Allah, so Allah can give you those epiphany moments, so Allah can give you those light bulb moments on how to fix your marriage, for God's sake, right? So start with Allah Azza wa Jal first, right? Going back to the packaging, you know, a lot of these problems, apart from, you know, the deen, it comes back down to, I believe, failed expectations. So a husband and a wife have expectations of each other, have expectations of how my significant other, okay, is going to be, meeting my needs. And my needs could be emotional, could be physical, could be social, could be financial, right? We have all of these needs, right? So now, so I have an expectation of my other half, right? Now, when that expectation does not come to fruition, there's going to be
disappointment.
When disappointment kicks in, there's frustration, there's resentment, there's anger, there is anxiety, there is extreme anxiety called depression, and it sort of leads on to these things, right? The key here is to really be communicating your expectations. Darling, honey, buttercup, whatever you call, you know, each other.
Take notes, guys. Take notes. Buttercup.
You like that one?
Probably.
Not. when you're talking to each other, you know, what are your expectations? What do you want? You know, and you need to know what you want first.
That's so
because,
true.
Because, yani, subhanAllah, if you don't know what you want, you will get what you don't want.
No.
Okay? So, yes, it's about failed expectations. And subhanAllah, at the heart of much of these disappointments and frustrations, we find failed expectations. But I want him to do this. I want her to do that. I expect this. I didn't expect that.
But there was no communication.
There was no communication, okay? Or, for example, there's no boundaries, okay? Where's your standards? Where's your values? What are your boundaries, okay? Where have you crossed the line? And so, again, this is why I highly recommend that couples who are about to get married or who have just gotten married to really learn about relationships, to learn about human behavior, to learn about how to deal with your in-laws, aka outlaws, aka bother-in-laws, you know, with all. And it's sometimes it's not personal. There's just something about this relationship, in-laws, and the daughter-in-law. You know, I get a lot of couples coming in whereby there's serious clashes with with the family, you know, with the in-laws. And this is where boundaries come in, okay? So, you know, there's a lot of contributors towards divorce, but if I had to bring it down to and just put them in probably two broad headings, maybe it's the dean, or maybe there is dean, but there's no communication about expectations, or maybe there is communication about expectations, but you're not taking each other's expectations very seriously, okay? And hence we find ourselves in toxic marriages.
And in that case, there would be times when, I guess, divorce would be one of the playing cards. But at the end of the day, we want to avoid it as much as possible. But when it does become toxic, I guess, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, leave your toxic husband, leave your toxic wife. You know, I think first perhaps verify whether...
Absolutely. That indeed there is toxicity. That and we don't just, you know, straight away take on these labels and that's it, call it a day. No. Yeah. Get, you know, you don't just chop off your arm if you've got a bit of cancer in it. You do everything to save it, right? Mm. You just would do absolutely everything to save it. You will see the specialist. You'll pay the money, okay? You will take time out. You will do the research. Why is relationships different? Okay, relationships are very sacred. وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْكُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. It's a serious contract. It's a, you know, when I do these marriage contracts, you know, you have the wali, you have the witnesses, you have the mahar.
It's a big deal. It's serious.
You've spent a lot of money. It's a big deal, right? And especially when there's children involved. Okay, so we need to really, inshallah, be investing in one of the most important relationships on earth, and that is the relationship between a husband and a wife.
SubhanAllah, Sheikh, I guess it all comes back to that one verse in the Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, "In yurida islaha," you know, if you want that reconciliation, Allah will fix it. Allah will mend the heart. So I guess it's that strong desire to have to fix and mend things. And now look, I just want to make something perfectly clear. I don't know much about marriage. And I feel like there's so much more I want to know. And looking at you, you've been in this for 15 years. What's one thing that people like me and all those around that need to know about marriage, but they don't know yet? What's one thing we need to know about marriage that we don't know?
Why are you asking me such a hard question?
15 years.
طيب خلاص, بسم الله. One thing I can say is good marriages keep us happier and healthier. Full stop.
SubhanAllah.
Because you see, marriages or the quality of your marriage is going to have a ripple effect. It's going to impact your physical health. It's going to impact your mental health. It's going to impact your resilience to feel better, or it compromises your immunity when you're feeling down, okay? It impacts your relationship with the children. It impacts your productivity at work. Much productivity at work is lost. Something like, I think I remember reading a statistic of about 40-odd% of lost productivity in the workforce because, you know, people come to work with problems at home.
With baggage.
Exactly, right? So what does that tell us? That good marriages keep us happier and healthier. And there's lots of research that can really back what I'm saying. You know, I recall there was an article that I once read. It's called The Golden Triangle of Happiness. You can look it up, right? And it says it comes down to three things. What are the three contributors to happiness? We all want to be happy, right? And it said that one of them is a sense of purpose. We all want to know that there is a sense of purpose in this life, right? The second one is financial security. More money, more honey.
More problems.
And then the third one is good relationships. Okay, we all want to be in good relationships. I mean, think about it. I mean, I'm not going to ask you now, you know, remember that time you had a fight with your wife, you know, because then I don't want you to be going, your wife's going to get upset and I don't want to go there. But let's say, for example, you know someone, a friend who had a fallout with their wife, right? Do you think they had a good day that day?
Shocking day.
Are you speaking from experience?
No. Alhamdulillah. Make dua for my marriage. Make dua for everyone's
Allah
marriage.
Bless your marriage.
Barakallahu lakum.
Anyway. How does it go again?
We'll play it, inshallah. Maybe in the outro. But Jazakallahu khairan. Thank you so much, Sheikh. Well, I feel like this is a fruitful discussion. There's so much more you want to say.
Inshallah,
I want to say,
say
I want
to
ask. I'm sure just leave comments below, advice, feedback, suggestions for new shows. We definitely want to have you here again because we love you here, Sheikh.
We love you too.
Jazakallahu khairan. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And until next time, happy Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Intabih ya kamal, huh? Be careful, huh?
Thanks so much.